In other words, non-reflective behavior or a sense of commitment to how my parents and my grandparents did things. Nostalgically, I want to somehow evoke that sense of familiarity and comfort that they offered me. Therefore, I'm going to try to do it. Indeed, for Eisen, therefore, modern Jewish thought is something that is practiced by a very small coterie of intellectuals who do their own thing, who speak to themselves, who really have no bearing on the larger community. Of course, what Eisen is doing is what most could do with respect to the subject of thought, any kind of thought process, or any kind of intellectual history, or any kind of philosophy. Who cares except a few practitioners, a few intellectual elites out there that read it? That argument, therefore, is an old argument. Do people who are not educated in university care about thought? But it seems to me, as we turn to our final reflections, to consider Eisen's thinking as a kind of challenge to us at the end of this course and raise the issue again. And of course, as you're going to see, what I want to do in the last few minutes is to polemicize with Eisen's position. One might argue with Eisen that intellectuals are not the only people who give thought to the meaning of their lives and who have deep-seated beliefs. In other words, I'm not sure at this point in our course or in my life that to think that only intellectuals think about life, reflect on the meaning of life, or even think about their own beliefs, or even affirm beliefs. To dismiss this as simply the mind games of a few individuals is to dismiss too quickly the humanity out there, whether we're speaking about a Jewish community or about a non-Jewish community. Clearly, I would hope that more people think than university professors. One might also question how nostalgia is anything more than a fleeting sentiment, capable of sustaining the commitment of engaged Jews and capable of being transmitted to the next generation. If all we have going for ourselves is nostalgia, we might as well close shop as far as Jewish continuity is concerned. Because nostalgia, as you know, can evaporate from one generation to the next generation. And if I'm going to remember the religion of my grandparents when they die, then all I'll have is the religion of my parents to remember. And then, of course, my own generation will be the only, as each generation loses more contact with a living, authentic tradition, being literally involved with that tradition, then what we have left for us ultimately down the road is very, very little and eventually nothing. Firm commitments, I still believe, and perhaps this is my own credo, are usually based on firm convictions, which in turn are based on self-knowledge and self-reflection. And therefore, what I want to suggest at the very end of this course, contrary to Eisen, is that the reflections covered in this course are rich, are profound, are relevant, and speak to the condition of all Jews, indeed all human beings, as I have argued throughout. They reveal the courage and honesty of Jewish intellectuals to confront the past in terms of the future, of the present and the future, to attempt to offer meaning to a tradition challenged in manifold ways, and to continue a process at the very heart of Jewish creativity. In the final analysis, I would argue, modern Jewish thought, with all of its flaws and imperfect answers, and I'm not suggesting here, indeed, that the thinkers have satiated us, have satisfied us with offering us answers that can somehow address the issues and the dilemmas of our life, whether Jewishly or non-Jewishly. But with all of their questions and issues and articulations, what we have here is an authentic extension of what we might call, using the Hebrew word midrash, or Jewish exegetical activity. The word midrash means to interpret Judaism in the light of the present, to grapple with the meaning of an ancient faith and a tradition of sacred texts in a vastly complex and uncertain time. Indeed, what we have seen, therefore, modern Jewish thought is a thoroughly Jewish enterprise in interpreting the text and the classical utterances of Judaism in the context of our own modern times. And finally, in the final analysis, there is in these modern expressions of Jewish thinkers, in these modest expressions of Jewish thinkers, an authentic extension of the human effort to grapple with life's meaning, to understand the past in terms of the present, and to envision a humane and just and optimistic future in the light of that understanding. Dear friends, from the vantage point of our present uncertain world, this is no small undertaking.
We hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses series. Our courses are now available to order online. Visit our website at www.teach12.com or call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-832-2412. Thank you very much.